My dearest brethren, Holy Mother Church, recalling the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, watches during this most holy night and loves him in return. At the same time, she celebrates his glorious resurrection and gladly rejoices. For the Apostle teaches us that we are indeed buried together with Christ by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead, so we also ought to walk in newness of life. We know that our old man has been crucified with Christ, that we may serve sin no longer. Let us thus reckon that we are dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, my dearest brethren, now that the Lenten observance is over, let us renew the vows of our holy baptism, by which we have of old renounced Satan and his works, and also the world which is the enemy of God, and promised to serve God faithfully in the Holy Catholic Church. Therefore, do you renounce Satan and all his works and all his pomps? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born and who suffered? Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? Let us now with one voice pray God as our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again by water and the Holy Ghost, and granted us the remission of sins, himself keep us by his grace, in the same Christ Jesus our Lord, unto eternal life. Amen. The epistle that is read at the Easter Vigil Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Brethren, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ shall appear, who is your life, then you also shall appear with him in glory. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. And in the end of the Sabbath, when it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and coming rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And his countenance was as lightning, and his raiment as snow. And for fear of him, the guards were struck with terror and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the women, "Fear not, you, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord was laid. And going quickly, tell ye his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he will go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told it to you." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Immaculate Queen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dearly beloved, there are many thoughts that come to our mind on this glorious feast of the resurrection. Perhaps one of them, uppermost in our minds, is the joy that is ours, knowing that we have the true faith, the joy that is ours in knowing why God created us, why he put us into this world, and what we are aiming for, and the certainty we have that we shall be with Christ if we but live our faith. So there is that note of joy that predominates on this feast. There are other thoughts and reflections that come to our mind. But for me, the Feast of the Resurrection, more than anything, reminds me of faith. The gift of faith, the value of our faith, and the importance of our precious faith. Faith is a gift. And we receive faith for the first time at baptism. According to the Catechism, when we are baptized, we receive not only sanctifying grace and the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, but also the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And these three theological virtues remain in the soul and endure in the soul until or unless, by a grievous sin, charity is driven out. For charity and mortal sin cannot coexist in the soul. But even then, unless the sin is one that is directly against faith, such as heresy, apostasy, indifferentism, and so forth, denial or doubting of the faith, unless the sin is against faith, the virtue of faith remains in the soul, even a soul that is dead to grace. And thus that faith is there to help the person seek forgiveness and receive once again the grace of God. This gift of faith is so precious. And as I said, the Feast of the Resurrection reminds me of the gift of faith because St. Paul says in his first epistle to Corinthians, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain. And our preaching, too, is in vain. So this Feast of the Resurrection reminds us of our faith. What is faith? As I said, it is a gift, but it is a virtue by which we accept as true what we cannot fully understand, what we have not seen, what we do not comprehend. Every day, we all practice and exercise natural faith or human faith. Someone comes up to you and tells you something that happened to him or her, or that they have seen, or they saw in the news, or that they heard. And you know this person. You know this person to be truthful. You accept his word. You didn't see the event this person describes, but you believe it happened because he told you or she told you. And you have no reason to doubt that person. That is faith, but that is human faith. That is natural faith. Supernatural faith is the virtue whereby we accept as true what God has revealed and what his Holy Church teaches, even though we cannot understand it. How can there be three persons in one God? How can our Lord be present in the Blessed Sacrament? We do not understand these things, but yet we believe them, we accept them firmly. Our faith tells us that they are true. That is why faith is such a precious gift. And those who have not the gift of faith look at us and perhaps even pity us in their ignorance, in their sad darkness. They don't understand the faith. They don't have the gift of faith. Faith is so fundamental and so important that St. Paul said to the Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder to them that seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's the whole foundation of your spiritual life. If you have not faith, then you're just going through the motions because everyone else is. We not only must have faith and a strong and firm faith, but we must have a lively faith. A lively faith means a faith that animates your life. It is so strong, so effective, that it helps you to live as a good Catholic. It inspires you. It urges you on. We see faith in the lives of the martyrs in particular, who shed their blood, sacrificed their lives, rather than denied their faith. St. Paul, in his 11th chapter to the Hebrews, talks about all of those holy men and women of the Old Testament who are outstanding examples of the virtue of faith. We must not only live our faith, but we must grow in faith. Remember the words of the apostles, or rather our Lord to the apostles, O ye of little faith. And the one man who said to our Lord, Lord, I believe, but increase my faith. We all have faith. But how strong is it? How great is it? Is it small? Is it lively? Is it strong and firm? Or is it weak that it can be overthrown by a trial or a temptation? We have to be very careful that we do not listen to, that we do not give attention to doubts against faith. That is how some have come to lose their faith. They entertained doubts. And as many spiritual writers have pointed out, every temptation you can overcome not only with the grace of God, but also with the use of your reason. Every temptation, that is, except for two. Two temptations we must shut out immediately and not give them any time or place. Otherwise, temptations, we can say, well, this doesn't make sense. Well, that is foolish. If I did this, I would lose my soul, and so forth. We can use our reason. but not with faith. Not that faith is against reason. It is beyond reason. Our faith is reasonable. But when a person has temptations against his faith, he cannot use reason to argue against those temptations. He must turn to prayer and make acts of faith. The other type of temptation is that against chastity, where one must immediately flee the temptation instead of trying to argue against it. Faith is a virtue by which we accept what God has revealed because, as we say in the act of faith, he can neither deceive nor be deceived. And let us remember the value of reciting the acts of faith, hope, and charity. How do you grow in faith? If your faith is weak, how can you grow in faith? You grow in faith by making acts of faith. Just to say, my God, I believe in thee and all that thou hast revealed and that thy church teaches. A simple act of faith. Of course, hopefully you all know by heart the acts of faith, hope, and charity. Oh my God, I firmly believe that thou art one God and three divine persons, etc., etc. Those are good prayers to say every morning as part of your morning prayers. The acts of faith, hope, and charity. Because every time you make an act of faith, the virtue of faith in your soul increases. Every time you exercise your faith, it increases. And contrarywise, when you fail in your faith, it becomes smaller. It becomes more feeble. And what is so sad to see, sometimes among young people, they have been raised well by their parents, but they go out into the world, they go out into college or the workplace, they're surrounded by non-Catholics, and they feel ashamed, so they hide their faith. And they hear things that undermine their faith, and gradually they can lose their faith. And sometimes it happens, sadly, that these Catholics, former Catholics, lose their faith altogether, completely lose their faith. And you think to yourself, how did that happen? This young man, this young woman went to Catholic school. They had so many opportunities, so many graces. How could they lose their faith? Well, there are different ways it happens, as I said, by doubting it, denying it, listening to temptations, but also failing to live it. And one of the greatest causes of a loss of faith is living a life of sin, immorality. And there's an interesting story told by Father Mueller in his wonderful book on confession. It says, there is a man who lost his faith. He was a worldly man, and hadn't been to Mass for years. And his friends were urging him to go and talk to a priest. They thought if they could get him to go and talk to a priest, because they would talk to him about the faith and what his doubts were. And they thought if they could get him to go to a priest and ask questions, maybe that would help. Well, he finally agreed and he went to see the priest. And as he's asking all of these questions, explaining what his doubts were and why he could no longer believe this and no longer believe that, the priest said to him, when is the last time you went to confession? And it had been many years. And the priest talked to him, and he talked to him about the evil of sin, the loathsomeness of sin, the hideous nature of sin. And he brought him to contrition. And the man went to confession right then and there, and as soon as he made a good confession, all of the doubts disappeared. Because you see, sin and a life of sin leads to a loss of faith. And that is something, my dear friends, that we must dread more than anything, losing the precious gift of faith. Because without faith, St. Paul says, it is impossible to please God. It's the whole foundation of our spiritual life. And on Easter night, our Lord appeared in the upper room and Thomas was not there. He came again 1 week later and he said to Thomas, come here and put your fingers into the place of the nails and your hand into my side and be not faithless, but believe. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And then our Lord said, words that should be of great comfort to each one of us, "You believe now because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The apostles saw our Lord in the flesh, risen from the dead. We have not. We have our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, but yet we believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. My dear friends, let us pray on this holy night, in this Mass, for a faith that is so strong and so firm, so unshakable, that no matter what temptations may come, what doubts may come, that we will never lose it. Because without our faith, we will never get to heaven. On this glorious night, the resurrection reminds us of the beauty and the gift that God has given to us with our faith. Let us appreciate it. Let us live it, that we may always retain it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.